Again, it just has large ears. There is no political entanglement meant. Last week we had an elephant. This week we have a donkey. They both have large ears. Neither political party can understand that that's part of their elephant, you know, part of their animal's characteristics is the ability to listen. Been looking at the idea of can we hear, and this morning we're looking at and asking the question of ourselves, can we hear the word? You know, we usually eat 2 to 3 times a day. I don't know about some of you. Some of us maybe 4 or 6 times a day, just, you know, whatever. Most of the time we can't remember what we ate on any specific day. If I were to ask you what you ate on February 16th, 2010, that's 10 years ago for those of you who can't figure that out. Yeah, food. Most of us cannot get specific about that. If you were to ask me what I ate for dinner on June 19th, 1981, I can remember that day. It was our wedding day, so I can remember what we ate for dinner that day. And we have had silent enjoyment of it ever since. But unless it's something significant, you cannot remember what you ate on any specific day, even though you recognize you probably did, because you're still here. You certainly receive nutrition from those meals. Again, you're still here. But they may not have been that memorable. If I ask you what your favorite meal was, most of you could tell me what your favorite meal was and when the last time was that you ate it. If I ask you your favorite restaurant, most of you know what that is, and you can remember eating there, and you tell me about the last time you ate there. But just the normal, humdrum, everyday, run-of-the-mill meals, they fade into oblivion very quickly. Now, I've been preaching here for over 20 years. And without going back and looking, I do keep records, but without going back and looking, I have no idea what I preached the third Sunday of February 5 or 6 years ago. But hopefully that does not mean that we've not been fed spiritually over that time, that we did not receive some sort of spiritual nurture and sustenance and growth that occurred from that. In today's scripture, Solomon is going to speak to his son, and he's going to instruct him to listen to the words I say. You can tell that his son was not a teenager when he wrote those words, because he said the word listen, and you get the idea, maybe the son did. How do we hear and maintain the hearing of the things that we hear? It's interesting to ask people questions like, what's the best sermon you ever heard? And this funny, dull, glazed look comes over their face. And you go, okay. Or the most memorable one? If I ask people about the most memorable wedding I did here, they refer to the one where I tripped coming up on the stage and did a somersault across the stage. For some reason, for some, that was memorable. Okay, for me it hurt for about 3 weeks, but I remember it. What's the most memorable thing about God that you've heard? Can you hear? Sometimes you hear because you're in such a state of life that you're reaching out and grasping for anything that will give you a handle to hold on to. Other times, it's just another spiritual meal. Be filed away, grow from, sustained by, nourished by, nurtured by, and move on. But I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 23, and hear Solomon as he talks to his son. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. He's giving advice to a son. It's interesting to ask grown men what they remember most their dad teaching them. Ranges from, "Dad didn't teach me anything. He was absent. I don't remember anything he tried to teach us." To others, we talk about, "He taught me to hunt and fish and throw a ball and the different things that our dads taught us." But he says to his son, "Give attention to my words." I've been so poor I can't pay attention. And some folks are that way. But Solomon is here giving his son life tips on how to be a better man, how to follow God, and to be successful. And he starts out by saying, "You are never so poor that you cannot pay attention." Now, there are some people that have what I call sermon attention deficit. You can see that when Jose plays the last chord of the guitar and their eyes glaze over. See, they've been going to church for so long that they've heard it all, their mind has come up with this image that there's nothing new to hear. And so as soon as that last chord of the guitar is strummed, all of a sudden, the mind just turns off. If you're a parent of a teenager, you've seen that phenomenon. Okay? And it's funny to watch it from up here, because they start dozing and they start nodding. Two or three times I've seen heads actually hit the chair in front of them. It's hard for me not to laugh when that happens. I think that's hilarious. One time in the Yuma church, a lady in the choir fell asleep. She had sermon attention deficit. And as soon as I started preaching, she would go to sleep. And she fell over, and when she hit her head on the little rail in front of them, her false teeth fell out. No, but I lost it. And that's why here there's nobody behind me when I preach. I don't like people behind me when I preach. But here he's saying, "Hey, I've got something to say, and I want you to hear it. Now, son, listen up. Pay attention." And the first thing he says to do is to focus your attention. He said, "Pay attention to my words. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart." We're at one of the Arizona ruins places, and we're across the hill from where the ruins were on the other side of the valley, and we saw a great big old bird just kind of roosting over on the far side. So I grabbed the binoculars and started trying to focus in on them, and I could see where it was, but it took forever to get the binoculars focused on it. I handed them to the person I was with, and they said, "Oh, these are out of focus," and started changing it, and I'm trying not to slap them. Or when someone says, "You get the binoculars and focus for me, and then I'll look through them." No, it doesn't work that way. If you're going to look through the binoculars, you have to focus them yourself to fit your eyes. And if I really want to mess them up, I'll take my glasses off and fit them to focus my uncorrected eyes, in which case I know they're not going to see anything through those silly things. And Solomon says, you need to do that with what we're doing here, and focus your attention. If you can walk into the TV part of Walmart, You notice most of the TVs are all set to the same thing if they're broadcasting something. And if you really want to mess them up, change the channel on all of them so all of them are on a different channel. And then turn the volume up on all of them. Okay. Now, sooner or later, they're going to catch you doing that and throw you out. But it's fun to watch the response when all of a sudden there's 15 televisions broadcasting 15 different things with 15 different things. And you walk in there and you can't figure out which one to watch. Focus your attention on the Word. We got lots of stuff we can read. We got lots of stuff we can think. We got lots of stuff we can listen to. And here comes the instruction from God. My son, focus your words. Focus your attention on the Word of God and the words from God. Keep the words in sight. Memorize them until they're a part of you. Back in the dark ages when I started school, public school did not have kindergarten, so I didn't start school until first grade. And before I went to first grade, my mom made sure that I knew her and Dad's real names, not just Mom and Dad, but Simon and Alice Steely. She made sure I knew our phone number and could recite my phone number. So, and she practiced with me. Brian, what's the phone number? And I'd tell her the phone number. And then we had a neighbor's alternative number. And I still remember the neighbor's alternative number because Mom and Dad had changed phone numbers 57 times since then. But all through my growing up, Judy had a constant number. That's 298-3568. I still remember it. Because Mom worked with me to put that into my life as a six-year-old to remember what the neighbor's number was in case I called home and couldn't reach Mom, or the school had to call home and couldn't reach Mom, they could reach a trusted neighbor. And our address. And so she would not let me attend school until I knew what our address was. I have not lived in that house for over 50 years. But it's 10912 Los Arbolos, Albuquerque, New Mexico. I don't remember zip code because that wasn't part of what I had to remember then because Mom knew I wasn't ever mailing anything to it. But the address itself I needed to know. And she had us focus on memorizing what was important before she would sort of trust us with other people. Mom was not the most trusting of individuals. And so she wanted to make sure that we were prepared. And here's Solomon telling his son, he says, you focus your attention. You set your heart. Keep those words in sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Memorize them until they're a part of you. Do we hear the word enough that it becomes a part of us? And he doesn't just tell us that because he's bumping his gums. He's not like most parents that are saying, do this because I told you so. That's the only reason you need. I told you so. That is a good dad phrase, by the way. Because I told you so. That's enough. That's all the reason you need if you're the dad. But Solomon is not content with that. He said you do it because it's better for you. It is life to those who find them. And health to all their body. Life and health. It's amazing how much we spend on health care to make us healthier. You want a good political debate? Ask any candidate running what they're going to do about health care. And they'll shuck and jive better than any carnival huckster you've ever seen. But here Solomon is saying the reason you want to focus on the Scripture is because it's better for you. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it abundantly. It is better for us to focus on the Word. It brings life and health It certainly brings spiritual health. You see, we understand the Word enough to know what's fake and what's real, so it brings spiritual health. It brings mental health. People who are actively involved in church, actively involved in reading the Word, actively involved in spending time with the Scripture, have better mental health than others. Less anxiety. A strong supportive network brings emotional health. The ability to check things out with others. Proverbs says that as we interact with one another, it's like iron sharpening iron. That we get better because we're together with other people who are working at their emotional and spiritual health. And it brings strength of spirit and sense of determination. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual health comes from a focus on the Word. Can we hear the Word? See, if we hear the Word, we're not satisfied with stagnating spiritually. We're not satisfied with emptiness and a vacuous understanding of who God is. If we hear the Word and continue to hear the Word, there's growth and healthy change and excitement for God. It is better for us. And then he tells us to continue on, to guard our hearts. He says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. To watch over our heart with diligence. Not a very commonly used word today to be diligent. Being vigilant is, but that's different. Being diligent means we make sure we do the same thing as necessary again and again and again. New mother was complaining to her mother about every time I change that kid, he messes again. Every time I clean his clothes, he spits up on them all over again. Mama, when does this get back to normal? Mama says, sweetie, that is normal. You have a new normal. And so you continue on doing those things that need to be done again and again and again. Mowing grass, washing clothes, washing bodies, brushing teeth, cutting hair. Those things that have to be done again and again and again. If I want to lose an arm at my house, let's wait until Sandra has just finished cleaning all the dishes in the kitchen and then slide a new dirty one in there in front of her. I'm not that stupid. I wait until she has left the kitchen and then I slide it in when she's not watching. Because I'm not stupid. Because there's this thing where you have to keep doing it over and over and over again. You ever walked into someone's house where they never ever wash their dishes and the trash is piled up high with fast food wrappers and boxes and there's a smell to the place? There's things flying around the sink and you're just trying to go, man, I hope they don't offer me something to drink. And everybody goes, yuck. And some of you have been at those places, are sitting there kind of cringing in your chair because you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever had rental property, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. One of the jobs I had in seminary was changing carpet in rental houses. Okay, you know it's bad when you take a scoop shovel to take the old carpet out because it's so encrusted with all the yuck. And you want to encourage them to understand this wonderful contraption called a vacuum cleaner that they obviously do not have one of. And if you talk to them about it, say, well, you just have to vacuum it again the next week. Yes, you do. See, that's diligence when you stay after something and keep after it. And here he's telling them to be diligent with their hearts. It's not enough just to hear it once. But there has to be a sense of diligence where we hear and continue to hear and continue to hear and let it grow and build and be beautiful because we're diligent to hear. Can you imagine the kind of marriage where they said, I love you on the wedding day and never say it again afterwards? But you have to be diligent to say it again and again and again, over and over and over again. Not because they're going to forget, but because you want to remind them of the truth of your heart, that you do love them. He tells him to be diligent, to watch over your heart with all diligence, to continue on and protect what's there and to keep it in our memories. Can we develop and maintain ears to hear? Can we avoid sermon attention disorder and begin to hear what God is saying through His Word? Can we hear the Word of God each time in a new and fresh way because God is presenting it to us on multiple occasions and we need to hear it new and fresh? I had a friend go to the doctor one time because their hearing was not doing well. And the ear doctor says, well, let's take a look. And shines that light into his ears. Now, this was a friend of mine. I'm convinced the light shone on the wall on the other side, but he keeps telling me it did not. And the doctor asked the nurse for some forceps. Yeah. And so he reaches in there and pulls out this honking big, huge clump of earwax and dust. And sends the guy home and says, see if that's not better. And he went home and he could hear wonderfully again because there wasn't all that yuck blocking it. And he says, but doctor, how do I stop it from building up again? And the doctor said, here's some ear wash. And gave him instructions on how to use it. And said at least once a week, clean your ears. And my friend said, I wanted to go in there and have him fix it. I didn't want him to give me more maintenance to do. And a lot of folks come to church just like that. They come in because we want have a one-shot deal where God comes in and fixes it. And God looks at us and laughs and says, that's not the way it is. That's not the way it works. The way it works is you guard your heart and you guard your ears that you continue to hear. God is providing many opportunities to hear His Word. At church, online, on TV, on radio, lots of places to hear what God has to say to us. But we have to develop and maintain the ears to hear. We're recognized that God is still at work in my life and in your life and in this church so that we could hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's work on our ears together. Let's pray. Father, please help us develop and maintain ears to hear. Please help us develop and maintain the ability to hear your word in new and fresh ways, to recognize the beauty and glory of the word that you have for us, and to trust you to help us grow, to help us hear, to help us obey, to help us follow. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.